Well, good morning once again, folks. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Psalms. We'll be beginning a new series in a new book, the book of Psalms, one of my personal favorites. And we'll be beginning with the first psalm, as it is fitting. The first psalm is commonly called the preface psalm, as it serves as an introduction to the other 149. There's 150 psalms in total, written by several different authors, some of them named and some of them anonymous, at least so far as the scriptures are concerned, in relation to the human authorship. But we know this, that we can certainly affirm their divine authorship. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 will serve as our specific text this morning, but we'll open by reading the entire first psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. As we've said, some of the human authors of the Psalms are not named. Psalm the first is commonly attributed to Solomon, both on the basis of its content, which aligns with much of the content in the book of Proverbs, and also its style in terms of the Hebrew language used. David has also been suggested as an alternate author for this psalm. The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked stand in sharp contrast. We have time enough to draw applications from the first two verses this morning. First, note that the ungodly have their counsel. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Secondly, the sinners have their path, nor stands in the path of sinners. Notice that that word sinners is found in the plural, and path is found in the singular. And we'll expound further upon the particular language used by the writer here. Third, the scornful have their seat, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And our fourth and final point this morning is that the righteous have their God in his book, his statutes. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That is, all the time. The 12 daylight hours and the 12 nighttime hours of the day. The ungodly have their counsel. Now, there is a multitude of counselors in the world, but most of them are ungodly. Two categories of people earnestly seek after ungodly counselors. They have this in common. They want to be able to achieve victory over a particular situation by fleshly human means. The first category of people who seek out ungodly counselors are people without a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Such are carnal, fleshly, unredeemed, unsaved. Who would we suppose they would seek out but the ungodly counselor? The second category of people who earnestly seek after ungodly counselors are unrepentant, backslidden Christians. People who want their sinful thoughts, their sinful designs, and their sinful actions justified. Such will avoid godly men and women. Rather, they will seek those who will allow them to remain in their sinful indulgence. This includes so-called Christian counselors and Christian leaders of the persuasion that deny the very holiness of God. And so there is no shortage of ungodly counsel for those who seek to escape the consequences of their sin. Such, of course, is impossible. But we have this way about us that we deceive ourselves into thinking that we can put one over on the all-knowing, all-seeing God. Such counselors not only do the same, that is, partake of the same sins, but they also approve of those who practice them. It is written that the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. They're based, at least in part, upon lies, whereas the counselors and the counsels of God are built upon the bedrock of God's truth as revealed in His holy word, God's objective truth. We often hear something that sounds good, but test all things against the word of God. Be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, roams about as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he might devour, that he might trick them, that they might fall into the pit, that they might be encompassed by the net. Ungodly counsel can have just enough truth to sway us, and it is easy to get drawn into the lie and drawn away from the truth. Have you ever watched one of these TV preachers? Or, read one of these things written by some, internet preacher or teacher, and you read through, and you read the opening, and it's like, yeah, this guy's dead on, spot on. And then you read a little further, and you find out that this person's got covetousness as their motive. Or they're teaching that you must be baptized by water in order to be saved, or some other such foolishness. Take care, friends, that you be discerning in all things. And if you're not sure, seek out a mature Christian who knows this book inside and out, that you might find godly counsel in such situations. The writer of Hebrews gives this exhortation. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. When we follow false teaching, we're going to begin to drift away from all of the elements of the truth, little by little. Now, the ungodly have their counsel. The sinners also have their path. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Notice in our text that there are many sinners traveling one path. That path, friends, leads to eternal destruction. It leads to the portal gate of hell, the place of eternal torment, the place of the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Both sorrow over their own plight and the gnashing of teeth in rage against God. Those sinners haven't taken their opportunity when it was presented here to them on earth. And there will be no opportunity after the grave. For it is appointed for men to die once, to die a physical death once. And after this, the judgment. There is no going from here to there. There is no crossing over that chasm. And so therefore, friend, if you stand here without Christ, if you're one of the many sinners on that singular broad path which leads to destruction, I urge you, friend, make a change this morning before it is too late. Do it now and pray after this manner. Lord, I am full of sin. I am full of selfish pride. I'm full of confusion, and I'm tired of it. I want peace, Lord. I want to know you, O Creator God. Lord, this morning, I believe, I trust in faith that when your Son Jesus went to that cross at Calvary, when those tears flowed down the blessed face, and when the blood came down the sides of our blessed Savior, when that 3 hours of darkness descended upon the earth, the globe, that all of these things were done not only for the world, but they were done for me. And so, Lord, I come to the foot of that cross, empty now, and I unstrap my burden of fear, of anxiety, of uncertainty. And Lord, I believe, accept me into your kingdom and begin it even at this moment to prepare a room in heaven for me. And on the authority of God's word, if you've prayed that prayer this morning, God has done just this. Just as he said, in the words of the prophet Jeremiah. The sinners have their path. The path is sufficiently wide. It is well traveled, but never so congested that any are impeded from traveling thereon.